Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Friday edition of American Hit Radio here at WHPC 90.3 FM. I'm your host, Tom Ryan, here every Wednesday and Friday at 5 p.m. with my lovely bride, Heidi Morales Ryan, here to assist me. And sometimes it's Mike Tejan, but most of the time lately it seems to be Rich Wisneski, who's doing our engineering.
Oh, hello there. Hello, Rich. I figure we'll make it a solid hour and a half of Rich Wisneski today.
We're going to see if we can give you a chance to rest up after doing so much reading. To start our show today, let's pan in on a specific day in time in a small bedroom community, a little suburban town in Hawthorne, California. The day is September 15th, 1961, where three brothers and a cousin and a friend are sitting around trying to impress somebody to see if they could perhaps get a record contract.
You guys wrote that song by yourself.
Who wrote it?
All of
you? We all did.
Well, we got a few ideas, like the music and most of the words. You guys do mostly.
Yeah, but see, they do that on the machines. All we have to worry about is a blend, because it'll sound a lot better if we're blending perfectly.
Yeah, forget time and beat and everything.
Hang loose and keep your heads up.
Boom, dip, 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 boom. Bom dip da dip da dip
surfing.
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 Surfing
is the only life, the only way for me.
So come along, baby, and surf.
Surf with me.
Bom dip da dip da dip bom. Bom, dip, dip, dip,
got up this morning, turned on my radio. I was checking on the surfing scene to see if I would go. And when the DJ tells me that the surfing is fine, that's when I know my baby and I will have a good time.
We're going
surfing.
Bom, dip, dip, dip,
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 surfing.
That, of course, is the Beach Boys, or they are the Beach Boys. Brian Carl and Dennis Wilson, their cousin Mike Love, and their friend Al Jardine, trying to, actually there they are auditioning, in a sense, in front of a couple for a small record label from their neighborhood. The way the story goes, pretty much, is this. I mean, obviously, the Beach Boys growing up in a small town, their father was fancied himself to be a musician. He had a couple of songs published, had one song performed at various times on television, and there was a piano in the house. And Brian, in particular, had a total love for what was happening, worshipped his father's music, what he was doing, and had a desire to do the same. And Brian expressed this interest to his father, and it was Brian's father who actually managed to set up the audition between Brian and this couple, that was the Height couple, essentially. Let's see, what was their name? I think it was the Morgan couple. The father's name was Height, or the husband's name was Height. Anyway, they walk into the office, and their first audition happened because Al Jardine, the neighborhood friend, was a bit of a folk star, or a folk. He had an interest in folk music, and he asked Brian, who had already showed an interest in arranging music and harmonies, because he just liked, from listening to his father's records all the time, he would always ask his brothers to sing different parts, and it was a hobby of Brian's. He was also wanting to use a recorder that he got from his father when he was 16 years old to overdub parts to do various harmonies. And Al had a respect for what Brian was capable of doing as far as arrangement. So Al said, let's record this folk song that I want to do called Sloop John B. So they walk into the office and they sing this version of Sloop John B for the couple. And they just kind of stare at them for a while, and they're like, well, what do you think? And they're like, well, sorry, you know, not good enough. I mean, you guys are okay, but these days you need to do something original. You got to have an angle. Total silence. The Beach Boys are rejected after singing Sloop John B. They don't know what to do. Dennis, who at the time was still a teenager, he's the middle brother, Brian, of course, being the oldest. Dennis all of a sudden says, well, we got an original. It's called Surfing. Brian's ready to kick him under the table. He's like, what are you talking about? Brian was like, I think that's ridiculous. You know, they had been fooling around, and Brian was sitting at the piano one day trying to write a song about surfing because Dennis had suggested the idea. And he had a song that went surfing, surfing, surfing. It was ridiculous, but it didn't come together until eventually Mike Love started adding some rhythm to it with that bop, bop, dip, 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 dip. And all of a sudden it kind of became a song. So I said, you know what? This might be good enough. Let's go back to the, you know, an audition with this. Let's see if they like it. They walk into the room playing this song, and the reaction was immediate. It's a hit. That song's going to be a hit. So, of course, now the Beach Boys decide that they've got to finish what they're doing. Let's play another song, actually, that they were rehearsing. Here's a little snippet of Brian actually trying to work on his songwriting. This is just a little 30-second bit. This is from their box set, Good Vibrations, a track that has since been, like I said, it's just a snippet entitled Little Surfer Girl.
On the playback, Bob, I want piano and bass. Okay, here we go. One, two, one, two, three. Surfer boy, ride all the waves that combine. I'm on my board, little surfer girl.
There's a tiny little snippet there, sung by, of course, Brian Wilson, working on a song that might have been called Little Surfer Girl that ended up being unreleased. Anyway, the way the story goes, it was their father, Murray, who had set up the audition in the first place, but he was going away for a 3-day weekend to Mexico City. And his wife, he gave the kids some money, stocked the refrigerator with food, and figured that would be enough to hold them over. What they did with the money was they rented instruments, and they started to record their song. They went back, and they had this audition, passed the audition, so they figured they had to get a good recording of this song. So they spent all their money to record this song, renting the instruments and doing what they could to get the song done.
Good thing the fridge was stocked.
Father came back, and he was ready to kill them. You did what? And their father had his temper. We'll get into that a little bit as well. But they were able to play the result. And the next thing you know, he calls up the couple that he set the boys up with to find out what the heck was going on here. And it's actually kind of was understood that, you know what, they just recorded something that might have been a hit. Here is the net result of that effort, the actual master take of the song Surfin'.
Surfing is the only life, the only way for me. Now surf, surf with me. Bob, bob, dip, 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 bob, bob, dip, dip. I got up this morning, turned on my radio. I was checking out the surfing scene to see if I would go. And when the DJ tells me that the surfing is fine, that's when I know my baby and I will have a good time. Surfing is the only life, the only way for me. Now surf, surf with me.
Bob, dip, 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 bob, dip, dip. From the early morning to the middle of the night, anytime a surf is up, the time is right. And when the surf is down to take its place, we'll do the surfer stomp. It's the latest dance craze.
Surfing is the only life, the only way for me. Now surf, surf with me.
Bob, dip, 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 bob, dip, dip. Now the dawn is breaking and we really gotta go, but we'll be back here very soon, that you better know. Yeah, my surfing knots are rising and my board is losing wax, but that won't stop me, baby, cause you know I'm coming back. Going surfing, bob, dip, 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 surfing, bob, dip, dip, surfing, bob, dip, 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 surfing, bob, dip, 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 bob, bob, dip, 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 bob, bob, dip, dip.
Surfing is the only life, the only way for me. Now come on, pretty baby, and surf with me, yeah.
There it is. There's the very first Beach Boys single ever. Single not released on Capitol, but on Candix Records or X Records. Recorded on October 3rd, 1961. Became a minor hit. Reached number 74 on the national charts. Certainly not enough for us to bother to remember them at this time. But what's interesting, if of course, as we all know what the Beach Boys eventually developed into, is that a lot of things were already in place. Brian already had some expertise with recording and doing overdubbing because of the tape machine that he had that he was playing with, that he was obsessed with working on. He was also, because of his obsession with his father's music and with the Four Freshmen, had been working with his brothers, sort of like a built-in group. They were just there. So he was able to utilize them and sometimes his mother to help arrange vocal parts. So Brian, even right there at this very first session with the Morgans in their little studio, was in charge of trying to get the parts down and working out the harmonies. And Brian insisted that they make 12 takes of that record before it was mastered. And there it was, and it came out. Now, the funny story about this is what Dennis Wilson tells the story that the first time we ever heard our record played on the radio, we were all on Hawthorne Boulevard in Brian's 1957 Ford. And they said, here's a group from Hawthorne, California, the Beach Boys, with their song Surfing. He goes, basically, Brian started to freak out. He says, his face lit up. He goes, we got a record on the radio. That was the biggest high ever. He says, nothing will ever top the expression on Brian's face, ever. That is the all-time moment. Probably the happiest Brian ever was in his entire life. They said that Carl, who at the time was still, I think, just barely 16 years old, got so excited that he started to throw up.
Oh, my.
Hearing himself being played on the radio. It became a local hit for the Beach Boys, obviously in their own area of their own hometown, but it didn't really do much nationally. Like I said, a number 74 hit. It is now one of the rarest singles ever, and they needed a B-side. So the Morgans, who ran the Candix record label, where the Beach Boys were recording these songs and who their father had set up for the audition, had a son who had written a song called Luau. So the Beach Boys decided that they'd learn his song to put it on the B-side. For its general rarity, here is that song by the Beach Boys, the B-side of their first single. The song is entitled Luau.
Look at your paper. Look at your paper like this. Just look at your paper.
Look at the
words.
All right,
here we go. One and two and...
Let's have a luau, luau, let's have a ball, luau, let's have a luau, luau, invite one and all, luau, don't need to dress up, luau, come as you are, luau, you bring the cola, luau, bring the guitar, luau, girls will all hula, boys will all sing. We'll have a luau, luau, won't miss a thing. You don't need to live in the islands to have a lot of fun. Just pretend your patio's an island in the sun. Let's have a luau, luau, let's do it right. Let's lots of music. Luau, my love all night. Luau, when day is ended. Luau, night shadows fall. Luau, we'll have a luau. Luau, really have a luau.
Now the couple's name that ran Candix was Dorinda and Height Morgan. I got their names wrong earlier. I apologize for that. And their son's name was Bruce Morgan. That song was written by Bruce. The take that was actually on the B-side, that was actually what we just heard was the rehearsal for the take. The actual take featured Brian playing drums, but what his drum actually was an upside-down garbage can with his shirt over the top of it, banging on it for the track.
Interesting. Like a bongo?
Pretty much, right, exactly, more or less. Now, I had mentioned earlier, of course, the way that you know the family had grown up together, three brothers in Hawthorne, California, with their dad, a fledgling songwriter, had ambitions of being famous one day himself, and here are his sons all of a sudden getting some national recognition. And he was a bit of an overbearing person. He definitely left his mark on all three of his boys, sometimes physically. It was his nature. He was obviously a very crucial person in the early years of the Beach Boys, though, because he did an awful lot to help them. But in other ways, he did an awful lot to hurt them as well. For example, during the session, when they were recording Luau, it is said that Dennis left the session because he got into a fight with his father, who was being domineering and telling them how to do it, and they were doing it no good, and it's all wrong, and they had to do it his way. And then, you know, the whole thing about the split between the generations here was very much in full force almost immediately out of the gate. Now, if you're going to tell the story about the Beach Boys, especially the early years, it's been told so often and in so many different ways that it's really impossible to do this.
There's a movie about it, too.
Yeah, but that's just it. Every single one of them has got a tone. It's like there's the official tone, there's the unofficial tone, the authorized, the unauthorized. For example, I'm just going to read from two different sources, something that describes the early years of the Beach Boys. This is from the Beach Boys' own box set. From the very beginning, music was always a central part of the Wilson family's life. Brian, brother Carl, mother Audrey, and father Murray, who had also enjoyed small success as a songwriter, spent countless happy hours gathered around the family's Hammond organ, imitating the popular 50s group, the Four Freshmen. Now, taken from something that Brian had said during an interview. Brian, actually, this is an excerpt from one of his book, Wouldn't It Be Nice? Eventually, Brian surprised his parents by showing that he had learned how to play the piano simply by watching his father's fingers on the piano, because he was terrified of touching the instrument. His father was furious at first, but then he said, "Playing the piano literally saved my butt. I recall playing one time while my dad flung Dennis across the wall. That was just one of many incidents when I didn't miss a note, supplying background music to the hell that often substituted for a family life." Huh. Take your pick.
Yikes.
You can imagine. So obviously, there's a lot of ways to tell this story. My not having been there, of course. And if you read Brian's autobiography, it's stunning in the amount, the gruesome detail that is in there. It has since been, I as I read it now, I can't help but believe that an awful lot of it was actually written by Brian's psychologist, his live-in psychologist, the doctor who lived with him. And I'm thinking that he more or less colorized an awful lot of what happened, and Brian just more or less signed it off. But obviously the Disneyland version of the truth can't be right either. But the one point that is made is that they did like to sing, especially Brian, and Brian loved a group called the Four Freshmen, who obviously sang four-part harmonies, which was integral for Brian to learn how to do what he eventually did so well. A very early recording exists of Brian imitating a Four Freshmen recording. So since we are at the very beginning of their career, let's hear Brian's arrangement with his brothers and, of course, their cousin Mike Love singing a track by the Four Freshmen entitled "Their Hearts Were Full of Spring."
Do it over again with take one, take
one, two, three, go.
There's a story told of a very gentle boy and the girl who wore his ring through the wind.
Do
you hear that? The beginning of that track?
1, 2, 3, go.
You play that again, Mike. It's so funny.
1, 2, 3, go.
Which has nothing to do with anything. It just shows, like,
1, 2, 3, go.
The nature of it. See, around this time, what had happened was after that first recording was out and there was a minor hit, they knew that they needed a follow-up. Problem was already a couple of things had happened that were going to, that got in their way. Al Jardine, their friend, had decided to quit to go back to school to finish college. So they needed a replacement. They brought in a friend of theirs called David Marks to take his place. Worse, though, was that Candix Records, the label that had put out their first single, had gone out of business already.
Oh.
They closed their doors. So now they're a band already without a label. Now, the world is littered, literally, with bands that have near hits that end up vanishing after that. This could have been, if it was like, if any other of like literally tens or hundreds, hundreds of thousands of the bands, really, they just could have just vanished. But at this point, their dad, Murray, decided to take over. He was the dad. He was going to see what he could do to help the boys with their career. So by interceding, he came along and says that what you need is a follow-up single that's gonna guarantee that you're going to be a hit. You've got to do something. We're going to have to record a demo and shop it around, and it's got to be a good demo. So start thinking about songs that are like those hits, those great hit rock and roll records that you, the crappy records that you listen to all the time. So the boys started to write, and they came up with some really good songs, and they recorded a really good demo. That song we just heard, in fact, that a cappella version of Their Hearts Were Full of Spring was the last song on the demo that they were shopping around. Unfortunately, it got rejected by virtually every single label that they went to around the board. However, there was one guy at the original label, at Candix Records, apparently the same guy who was responsible for naming them the Beach Boys. Now, I should say what happened there was that originally the Beach Boys intended to call themselves the Pendletones. And when they recorded that song, after the shirt, and when they recorded that song,
like my
Surfin',
friends named their band.
Right, exactly. Another band called the Pendletones. And when they recorded Surfin', they submitted it as the Pendletones, and they expected it to be released as the Pendletones. But one of the workers at Candix Records, who was in charge of getting the thing pressed, thought, you know, it's a Surfin' song. They really ought to do something which makes it more obvious on a national level that they are a band that's going to be singing songs about surfing. So he just indiscriminately changed their name to the Beach Boys, and the Beach Boys didn't know it until they got the record in their hands. They were angry at first. It bothered them, and you can understand why, that they had the name
changed.
Pendleton
shirts are cool.
Well, the Beach Boys wanted to be the Pendletones, and instead, here they are, all of a sudden becoming the Beach Boys. Regardless of that, the same person who did this suggested to Murray that maybe they could take their tape to this guy, Nick Vinay, at Capitol Records. He's got a good sensibility. He understands kids' music. He might even know what this whole surfing thing is about. So that, sure enough, is exactly what happened. They decided to take their demo tape, which they had worked on very hard, very long, to Capitol. Vinay loved it. In fact, he loved it so much, he said, I'm not even going to re-record it. Pretty much the way that the Beach Boys recorded the demo is the way that the next single came out. All that they did was fade it out at the end.
Huh.
Want to know what song that was?
Play it.
Do it over again with Take One, Take
It. 1, 2, 3, go. Let's go surfing now. Everybody's learning how. Come on a safari with me. Kicking out the Doheny too. I tell you, surfing's been a while, it's getting bigger every day.
She's real fine, my 409. She's real fine,
my 409, my 409.
Well, I save my pennies and I save my dimes.
Nothing can touch my 409, 409.
Ooh, giddy up, giddy up.
Ooh, giddy up, giddy up. Ooh, giddy up, giddy up. Ooh, giddy up, giddy up.
When I take her to the drag, she really shines. She always turns in the fastest time.
Giddy up, 409.
My four-speed dual quad positive traction 409.
409, 409.
Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, 409.
Giddy up, giddy up,
giddy up,
409.
Giddy up, 409.
Giddy up, giddy up,
giddy up, 409.
Nothing can catch her, nothing can touch my 409.
Just two of the four songs that they recorded for that demo that ended up being the reason that they were signed by Capitol Records. A session that obviously was amazingly successful. That single right there, the first two tracks between Surf and Safari and 409, became a double-sided hit. So right out the gate, they got a two-sided hit, a song I'm sure most people are familiar with, both of those songs, went to number 14 nationally. But you would think that with songs like that, the appeal seems immediate to us now. Even at the time, though, again, like, you know, it wasn't that obvious. Even their father, I mean, again, had created some difficulty in the studio. They recorded in that one session, 409, Surf and Safari. They even recorded Surfer Girl during that same session. But it ended on a bitter note because Murray kept trying to force the boys to record his songs instead of their own. Because he kept saying to them over and over again, my songs are better than yours. And they wouldn't listen to him. They stuck to their guns. And as I said, what ended up was a song that became a number 14 hit nationally. Now, the song 409, interestingly, was originally credited to Brian Wilson and Gary Usher. And Gary Usher has gone on to actually have some interesting credits as a songwriter. He, besides 409, he also helped Brian write In My Room, wrote a couple of songs for Frankie Avalon, wrote Mag Wheels, which was covered by Dick Dale. He even had something to do with Don't Give In to Him by Gary Puckett in the Union Gap. As a producer, Gary Usher had worked with the Hondells, the Safaris. He had even produced Sweetheart of the Rodeo by the Byrds, you can imagine that. So that
was a great album.
Very interesting batch of credits there for Gary.
So he's from Nashville?
He's a surf boy, friend of Brian, right there in Hawthorne. That's where that was all being done, in California. Now, nowadays, if you look at the credits on the song, you're going to notice that Mike Love's name is added. That is because of a subsequent lawsuit in the 90s. Mike took Brian to court.
Jerk.
Listing a bunch of songs, stating that he deserved songwriting credit on them. And now Mike's Love was added to a whole bunch of songs that were originally credited solely to Brian Wilson or Brian Wilson and somebody else. And
he's such a meanie.
Mike Love's name is on there. Now, with all the yeah, you know.
He is.
Yeah, he's probably the biggest jerk in rock and roll, but anyway.
Be that as it may, it's now time for them to release their follow-up single on Capitol Records. And with the huge success that they had now with Surf and Safari and 409, they're thinking that they beat the sophomore slump because it's their second single. Not in Capitol's mind. Remember, that was their first single for Capitol. Their second single for Capitol was this track.
And leather, the squad didn't like him at all. The fourth little engine took her riding in his big canoe. The fifth little engine took her down the waterfall.
the six little engine clock. Well, how do we move by the squad? Didn't like him at all.
Don't remember that one, do you? Became a number 49 on the pop charts, actually, but not enough for it to earn any place as far as being, you know, relevant to the Beach Boys hit catalog. For that matter, we may as well play the B-side as well, since we're on it. Here's the B-side of the same track, a song called County Fair. There you have it. Ten Little Indians, backed with County Fair, was the Beach Boys' second single, and it didn't do so well. Created a bit of a problem, actually, because now the Beach Boys feel that there's a lot of tension. Meanwhile, though, they were recording. Capitol was willing to give them an album because they had a hit, and Brian had his own ideas for what he figured the single should have been, but he did not get his way. At this point, Brian was not yet allowed to pretty much decide exclusively what was going to happen. I wonder if Brian's idea, though, was particularly that much better, because the song that Brian wanted to have as a single is this track right here. This track is a song about drinking root beer called Chug-a-Lug.
Here a mug, there a mug, everybody chug-a-lug. Here a mug, there a mug, everybody chug-a-lug. Gary likes a girl's tight black pants. Larry knows he doesn't stand a chance. Carl says hurry up and order.
Chug-a-lug. I guess the most important thing to keep in mind here is how young these guys are. They're basically still teenagers.
Right. They're singing about drinking pop, not beer.
They're not guzzling shots of Jack. This is the Beach Boys. They're teenagers, and they're singing about drinking root beer. It's a pleasant little ditty song. Brian thought it was going to be a better single, but that's not the way it happened, as I had said. Ten Little Indians and County Fair became the single, went no higher than number 49, which became ultimately the lowest charting single in the Beach Boys history until really 1970.
They hit another low spot.
When things begin to change for them a lot. But the first album did come out, and they are wearing their Pendleton shirts on the cover, carrying their surfboards.
I noticed that the first time I looked at that cover.
Sitting in a woody on the beach. The album was called Surfin' Safari. And it
sitting on a woody.
Brian wanted to let them all give a chance to sing, so maybe we should play this track, which actually features Dennis, middle brother Dennis, who was like the one who really at first didn't really even care much about any of this, but loved the idea of being a famous rock and roll star. Learned to play the drums real quick and loved it when Brian asked him to sing. So here's Dennis singing "You're My Miss America."
My Miss America.
Miss America.
Little girl, you're in my dreams.
You're my Miss America.
You're so sweet, you're so fine. Dear, won't you be mine? Everybody knows it.
My Miss America. My Miss America.
Eyes, blonde hair, lips like a movie star. Little girl with heart of gold.
You're my Miss America.
Little girl with lips untold.
You're my Miss America.
You're so sweet, you're so fine. Hey, won't you be mine? Everybody knows it.
My Miss America.
There, featuring Dennis Wilson on vocals, a track which actually does appear on the album Surf and Safari, which of course did manage to also license the singles from Candix, which no longer existed, so they've included those songs on that first album as well. One thing about early Beach Boys albums is that they always tried to put on a surf instrumental, something which was fairly common at the time, and since they were a surf band, it only made sense that they would try to record some surf instrumentals. This is a track that actually did not make the album, but it did make the subsequent box set, which more or less covers the entire the majority of the Beach Boys' career from the very earliest days right on up to the mid-90s. It's an interesting track, and as I said, an instrumental surf recording. This is entitled Punchline. Well, those are pretty much, we're at the point now where the Beach Boys had completed their first album, but they're in a bit of a bind because, as I had said, their second single for Capitol Records, or their third single overall, did not do well, was not considered a success. So it looked as though the Beach Boys' career might be over again at this point, if they were not to do something special and figure out what they were going to do. They needed to pull out all the stops.
You're only as good as your last hit.
Isn't that always the way it is?
Unfortunately.
So they had to figure out something. So, of course, Brian already has got down his harmony bit. That's not a problem. And he's got this, the recording thing is beginning to become a little bit more natural to him. But he keeps going back to the earlier hits of rock and roll. And he says, I've got to write something which is surefire hit. I've got to come up with something. Maybe something like the old rock and roll greats. People like maybe Chuck Berry. Brian goes home and he sits to, and he maybe starts listening to a song like this.
They're really rocking in Boston and Pittsburgh, PA, deep in the heart of Texas and around the Frisco Bay, all over St. Louis and down in New Orleans. All the cats wanna dance with sweet little 16. got to have about a half a million famed autographs.
Hmm, says Brian, I have an idea. Maybe I'll write a song that goes something like this.
If everybody had ocean across the USA, then everybody'd be surfing like California, yeah. You see them wearing their baggy Huarache sandals too, a bushy, bushy blonde hairdo surfing USA. You catch them surfing at Del Mar.
In just about every single way, the song echoed Chuck Berry's Sweet Little 16. The way that Chuck Berry has, in the very beginning of the song, lists a bunch of places. They're rocking in Boston, Philadelphia, PA. And Brian even takes that concept and California applies it to his idea of surfing. He goes like, he mentions the Ventura County line and Santa Cruz and Australia, Manhattan Beach and the Pacific Palisades and Sunset and Redondo Beach. Brian asked actually the brother of his girlfriend, Judy, who was a surfer, and said, give me a name of all the surfing places you can think of because I want to write this song about surfing, which is obviously 100% based on Sweet Little 16 by Chuck Berry.
Right.
So the kid came up and he gave Brian a list of about 12 names. Brian put them all in the song. What ended up happening? The next hit single for the Beach Boys, this time it became a number three smash hit.
If everybody had an ocean across the USA, then everybody'd be surfing like California. You'd see them wearing their baggies, Huarache sandals too, a bushy, bushy blonde hair, surfing USA.
Now imagine if you're Chuck Berry. You're back on the charts again, only it's not you singing.
Well, it's a bunch of teenage white boys.
Chuck Berry heard this and he's like, wow, I know that I've influenced music, but I think it's a little bit much. So he contacted the Beach Boys and suggested there was going to be a lawsuit involved. Brian's father, Murray, who was managing the band at that time, immediately surrendered 100% of the rights to the song, including lyrics. Gave Chuck Berry 100% publishing on the tracks. It's yours. Take it. So here they are with a huge hit, but Chuck Berry is the one who's pretty much making all the money on this track because it essentially is Chuck's song.
Well, it's an honor kind of thing, too.
Hey, Chuck to this day says that, he met the Beach Boys, of course, maybe a few years later. And he made a point of telling them that he really liked their song. I think what he meant was, I really like the money that I'm earning from your song.
And it's the best song I never wrote.
Exactly right. Once again, though, the Beach Boys were in a situation where, this is pretty much what it was about. The A side and the B side were both getting some airplay, and the B side again became a minor hit.
Yeah.
So let's hear for the B side, of course, of Surfin' USA, the track entitled Shutdown.
Tack it up, buddy, gonna shut you down. It happened on the strip where the road is wide. Two cool shorts standing side by side. Yeah, my fuel injected Stingray in a 413. Revving up their engines and it sounds real mean.
Tack it up, buddy, gonna shut you down.
Declining numbers at an even rate. At the count of one, we both accelerate. My Stingray is light, the slicks are starting to spin. But the 413's really digging in.
Now gotta be cool now, power shift, here we go. Superstar Dodge is whining out in low, but my fuel injector Stingray's really starting to go. To get the traction, I'm riding the clutch. My pressure plate's burning and the sheaves too much.
The never-ending song.
Oh, I'd say the exact opposite. These songs come and go so quickly. I'm shocked.
Oh.
the average Beach Boys single is about 3 minutes, 30 seconds, and I'm counting the A and the B side together.
Wow.
You know, the fact that these songs are usually about 2 minutes, 20 seconds, 1:52, they're short.
Wow.
Very short. By the way, that song was originally credited to Brian Wilson and Roger Christian, now credited to Wilson, Christian, and Love, just so that you know. After the lawsuit, Brian, Mike got his name onto that one, too. But whether or not Chuck Berry ended up with the writing credits pretty much almost immediately on the song Surfin' USA, the song is definitely what put the Beach Boys on the map nationally. They became a phenomenon of sorts.
So it
at this
was
point.
Worth it for them to not get sued and just get the
give up the royalties and let it go. And,
right.
And you know what? In a way,
and
it's
they
fair.
They got the notoriety.
They got the notoriety, and it gave them the opportunity to release a second album with Capitol. And the second album did great. And now Brian is really deciding to take control of the production. He's incorporating some of his ideas to try to make the sound fuller and better. You'll notice, and perhaps that the vocals on that single are a little bit more full sounding than what was happening on the earlier singles. Brian got the idea of doubling the voices. Simply record yourself twice, maybe even three times, to fatten up your sound and make sure that the notes and the pitch stay nice and steady. It was a brilliant idea, and it pretty much worked on everything. Now, this is only, let's see, March 1963 when the Surfin' USA album was released. Carl is still only age 16 at this point. So this is how young these guys are.
A wee little baby.
Exactly. But there was a couple of interesting things on this album. Brian's beginning to write a little bit more. And, of course, he's usually writing completely about the beach and cars and girls. And some variation of that is something that he feels compelled to do. He feels like it's almost like that's his territory. He's got to stick to it. So he works on variations of that theme, including this interesting song from the Beach Boys' second album called Surfin' USA. Here's an LP track entitled Farmer's Daughter.
I've come from miles away. Hey. Glad to help you plow your fields. For
think that's one of the great sleeper tracks from the early Beach Boys years. If you're a Fleetwood Mac song, you might even know that track.
If you're a Fleetwood Mac song?
A Fleetwood Mac fan, excuse me. You're a fan of the band Fleetwood Mac. They actually...
The song is you.
Put a version of that song on Fleetwood Mac Live from 1980. And it also appeared on the deluxe CD issue of Tusk. So they were listening in California to
How
the Beach
that?
Boys' second album, that's for sure. Yet another example of Brian's songwriting that I'd like to play and of his developing prowess at this time from this album. I'd like to play one more song. You can begin to get a sense of Brian's, maybe his internal sadness and what might have been happening on this track. He wasn't meant to be writing sad songs. It was all about writing upbeat kids tunes, but check out this song entitled The Lonely Sea.
The lonely sea, the lonely sea, it never stops.
Beautiful example of Brian's early melancholy. Brian on lead vocals there. He sang most of the slow songs, most of the love songs, actually. They Mike would sing the upbeat cartoons. Of course, he sang Surfing USA. That was his, you know, he'd sing the upbeat, a lot of the hits, but those emotional songs, you know, it's usually left for Brian to sing, and he wrote all of them. Well, anyway, hope you enjoyed our first part of our Beach Boys series. We will be back next Friday.
Wait, I'm sorry. I know Bob's in the room, but is it going to be like Dylan? How many shows are we doing this?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know. It certainly won't be as many as
Not
Dylan.
Not as
but
many as
I'm
Dylan.
I'm going to. Okay. I'll go out on a limb and anticipate that we'll have about 8 to 10 on the Beach Boys before we're through.
Okay.
So there you have it. Hope you can join us next Friday at 5 p.m. as we continue. Of course, we'll be back here on Wednesday as well, so we'll see you then. Meanwhile, here's the Beach Boys doing a live version of Surfing USA. Take care, folks.
Thank you.
We had a song out. We had a song out last summer that was number one 6 or 7 weeks in a row here in Sacramento. That's good. And it goes like this. If everybody had a bar across the USA, then everybody be surfing like California. You'd see them wearing their baggies. Barachi sandals too. A bushy, bushy blonde barber serving USA.
Let's go!
Catch him serving at the line.